السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, last week we were discussing the ayat of the Quran Sharif wherein those who will enter Jannat, those who will receive from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala the inam and the gift of Jannat, they will question those who will enter into hellfire that what is it that caused you to enter into hell? What were those actions that led you to hellfire? Of course, there are many, many actions, but from amongst them, the ones that they will pinpoint, the first one that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions there is that lam naku minal musallin, that we were not from those who used to perform their prayers. I very, very briefly discussed something about Salat last week. Of course, if we have to discuss the subject of Salat itself, and inshallah we will discuss if Allah Ta'ala gives an opportunity in future, because it is the foundation pillar of Islam. And the negligence that the Ummah at large is showing towards this very important pillar of Islam is one of the major causes of their being deprived of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat and His assistance. Because Allah Ta'ala has promised in the Quran Sharif that His rahmat and His assistance is with Salat, with the people that make Salat. It is a door from which you bring down Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat. But when this important pillar is neglected in the life of more than 80% of the Muslim Ummah, then where can we expect rahmat and mercy and blessings in the entire world? Nevertheless, that is something that inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives me an opportunity, then I will discuss. But let us take the next part, or the second thing that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, that what the kuffar will reply, or those people who will go into Jahannam, what they will reply. They will say that we were not amongst those who used to feed those who were the poor and needy. In other words, we never used to make sadaqah. Sadaqat is something which forms an integral part of a Muslim's way of life. We should not just confine ourselves to the faraiz. Faraiz, it's a duty, it's compulsory. A person has to do it whether he likes it or not. If he doesn't fulfill the farz, then he cannot even claim to be a Muslim in the true sense of the word. As long as he considers the farz as farz, we will say technically he is a Muslim. A person who considers the namaz as farz but does not perform it, technically we will say that because of the rulings of the jurists, he is still a Muslim. But if he rejects any of the faraiz, then of course he's not even a Muslim. But we should not confine ourselves only to that. If we have to look at the Quran Sharif, dozens of places Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about infaq, spending. This spending is definitely not only restricted to the zakat, which a person has to give, whether he likes it or not. It's a farz, obligation. What is intended there is that whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given you more than your needs, then of that spend for the poor, for the needy, for the destitute, for the masajid, for the madaris, for whatever causes require your assistance, and especially at present for the jihad. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not referring to only the zakat there. For zakat also there are many ayats of the Quran Sharif. Some places specifically it is mentioned zakat. So here we are talking about sadaqat. The person is giving charity, what we term as charity. Whatever he is giving for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which is not a farz obligation. But the person who is a believer in Allah Ta'ala, out of the love of Allah, that Allah who has blessed him with those ni'mats, he gives again from those same things to those who are less fortunate than himself. Allah Ta'ala has created these differences, that there are some poor, there are some who are rich. Because if everybody was of equal status, there would have been a big problem. Allah Ta'ala in his wisdom, he knew who to give how much. But then he has placed the responsibility and the burden and the obligation upon those people who have been blessed with sufficient amount of provisions, that out of that they must now spend on those who do not have. At least make sure that they have sufficient to eat, to drink, to wear, that they too have shelter above their heads, that they too can get to their places of employment in transport, that they have the basic essentials of life. Now that is the responsibility, duty and obligation upon those whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with sufficient wealth. But if we have to look at the life of the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, of course we cannot really become like them because of their high stage of taqwa and their very high stage of tawakkul and trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But at least we can emulate them to some extent. If we have to look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, read the kitab Fazail al-Sadaqat, how many hadiths Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah alayhi has compiled there to encourage the people to give sadaqat. But if we have to look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which are mentioned in all books of hadith, in every book of hadith you will get abwab, or you will get chapters which will discuss infaq fi sabilillah, spending on jihads, spending on this, spending on that. So if we have to look at that, that even there is a tarteeb, that there is a tarteeb. Allah Ta'ala does not want us to go on to any kind of extreme. It does not mean that when people are encouraged that you must contribute, so they contribute to such an extent that their own families are left in poverty, and after that they have to extend their own hands and beg of others. Now that is not Islam. There are incidents that we get in history, for example, in the Battle of Tabuk, Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged the Sahabas to bring whatever they could and contribute towards this cause of jihad. It was a very important expedition that they were going out on, and it was a very distant one. It was in a very difficult times. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called for contributions. This is where we get our calling for contributions. But remember that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not force any person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not embarrass any person and make him contribute. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not go and stand at a shop till and say that you did so much of business and you can't even give so much. In other words, there must be no direct pressure or indirect pressure. This is something which is lacking, and that will become zulm again. Like one person, if the person is here in this congregation, you should not get offended, but you should take a lesson, because I don't know who phones, they are anonymous callers. But the thing is, this woman says that there was some alim that was down who gave a lot of encouragement that people should contribute towards the jihad that is taking place in Afghanistan. So she says that this, just to please that alim who was doing the collection, my husband, he signed off a check from my account and gave him 20,000 rands. I said, that money was my money. It was my inheritance money which I had received. And just that he had the signing power, and he does not have that kind of finances. It's just that he's got outwardly a board showing that he's got a big business, but he is in difficulties. But just to make that Maulana happy, that he made a big contribution, so he gave away 20,000 rand, and he came and informed me that you must be happy that I gave away 20,000 rand from your account. Now that is zulm that. Allah Ta'ala will not get happy and pleased with that kind of zulm, because that money didn't belong to him, so how can he give it away? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged the sahabas. He gave them the virtues of spending in the cause of Allah Ta'ala. He gave them the virtues of making sadaqat, and that what Allah Ta'ala will bless them with in this world and in the akhirat. And the jazba that he created was that the spending must come out of one's free will and for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So those who go about collection in direct, by using direct pressure or indirect pressure, then they should be warned that Allah Ta'ala is not going to be pleased with those kind of amounts. The person rather contribute one rand but give it willingly, happily, without any pressure, coercion and force, than that you extract from him 10,000, 100,000 and the person is not willing and is not happy. There will be no barakat in that kind of money. In fact, it's stealing according to Sharia. I am not afraid to say these things because alhamdulillah, inshallah, and you make dua that Allah Ta'ala does not bring me to your doors with a collection book. Of course, there's nothing wrong with it. Those who go to the doors with collection book, there is nothing wrong if they're collecting for madrasas, masjids, etc. But unfortunately, at present, the situation is this, that if the person who has come to our door, he is a reputable person, he's a Maulana Sahib, he's a Mufti Sahib, he's a Qari Sahib, or he's a Mujahid Sahib, or he's some big business person, or he's a well-known in some professional field. So then the contributions which are made are generally not given out of a free and a willing heart. It is given because the person is now looking at the face of the person. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, we know that when we did the renovation and the extension to this masjid, what was the announcement? Whoever wants to give, whatever he wants to give, he must come and give it. We are not going to come to the doors. And Allah Ta'ala with his fazl and ihsan, 2 point some million rand, Allah Ta'ala sent it without us going to any doors. It's only his ihsan and fazl. We must have tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, on one occasion he just commenced his majlis. He says he just commenced his majlis with one incident. And that incident was of Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak. And he said that, look, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, it was towards the evening, and somebody came and asked for some help and assistance, and for some food. So he had 9 eggs. He had 10 eggs. That's all was left in the house. So he told his khadima and his servant, he said, take these 10 eggs and give it away. So what she did is she gave away 9, and she kept 1. After a little while, somebody came with one big tray. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak opened the door. He said, what is it? He said, it's hadiyah. So he took the tray and he started counting the eggs. Now this person was very surprised. He said, that this great person here is right in front of me, is counting. So he said, that what is the problem? He says, no, this is not my tray. This shouldn't have come to me. It must be somebody else's. He said, no, Hazrat, but it is for you. It's hadiyah for you. He says, who gave it? He says, so and so gave it. But it is for you. So he counted again. He said, no, there's 10 short here. So it can't be mine. He says, hadiyah that is coming, how do you know there's 10 short there? He says, no, there were 10 eggs which I gave. So I should have received 100. Now you have brought 90, so that shows there's a problem here. So he asked the servant, he said, what did you do? He said, no, I kept one behind that, say in case by iftar time nothing comes, what will you eat? So I kept one behind. He said, you see, you made me lose 10. So this was their yaqeen. He said, this was the kind of yaqeen that they had. If you have to look at the incident of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion, somebody came to him and asked him for some food, some assistance. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, go to the house. He sent Hazrat Hassan or Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, go to the house and tell your mother that give 1 dirham from those 6 which I gave her. So he went to the house and he said that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I said, must give 1 dirham from the 6. So Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha said that that 6 dirham was just sufficient for flour for that day. So therefore, she just sent this message across that those 6 dirham which you gave was for flour. It's hardly much of value and it would have just bought enough flour for the day. So when he went and informed Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the true Muslim is that person and the true Iman is of that person who has more yaqeen and more faith and more trust in the word of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than his own possession. So now tell your mother to give all 6. So he went and brought all 6. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu took the 6 and he gave it away. Now after he gave it away, he came outside the masjid there. There was somebody that was selling a camel. So he asked him, how much is this camel for? He said, 140 dirhams. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, well, I am a purchaser, I am a buyer, and I close the deal. I have bought your camel off for 140 dirham. But give me some time to pay you the amount that is due to you. So he agreed. Not even a little while after that, another person that was coming to the masjid outside, he saw one camel. So he asked, who does this camel belong to? He said, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked, are you interested in selling this camel? He said, yes. He said, for how much? He said, 200 dirhams. So the person said, right, okay, agreed. There's the 200 dirham and I bought the camel. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu took 140 and gave it to the person from whom he had purchased, and he sent 60 away into the house. And he told Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha that, see, your 6 has brought back 60. So this was their yaqeen. But as far as we are concerned, because we do not have that kind of yaqeen, Therefore, the Shariat says that we should be not miserly, and at the same time we should not go on to the other extreme that we give away everything and after that we regret that why did we give it away and we do not have in our possession. So I was telling you about that battle of Tabuk. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he brought everything, and when he was questioned that, "Oh Abu Bakr, what have you left behind at home if you brought away everything?" He said, "I left behind the name of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam." In other words, his yaqeen was such, he said that that is what I have left behind for my family. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought away half. Other people brought according to their capacity. Now from there we learn that each person according to his capacity he should give. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even gave us a tarteeb in that, as I was telling you, that he accepted from Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu his entire wealth, because he knew the yaqeen of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And on the other hand, another person came with one piece of gold, which was about the size of a small egg. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the only thing that I have, and accept it." Now because he said, "This is the only thing I have, and accept it," Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to accept it. He said, "If that's the only thing, you keep it." He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accept it as sadaqah." He said, "No, you keep it and use it." The third time Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it and he threw it onto the ground. Why did he do that? From Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he accepted everything. And from this person, when he said, "This is the only thing I have," he did not accept. Because Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that this person's tawakkul is not of that level, that tomorrow if some difficulty comes upon him or his family has to suffer some sort of starvation or poverty, then he may not be able to bear it. So therefore Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept from him. Therefore on one occasion, one sahabi, he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have one dinar." Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Spend it on yourself." He said, "I've got one dinar to give." He said, "Spend it on yourself." Now if it was one of our collectors, we would have said, "Yes, yes, give it here." He said, "No, spend it on yourself." Then he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have another one." He said, "Spend it on your children." He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have another one to give also." He said, "Spend it on your wife." He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have another one also to give." He said, "Well, spend that on your servant." He said, "Ya Nabi Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have more to give." He said, "Well, then anta absar wa anta alam. Then you know better. Those who are in need, those who are in difficulties, those who are in problems, those who require assistance and help, the poor, the needy, the orphans, the widows, the destitute, the jihad causes, now you spend in that." In other words, there was a tartib there. So there is no harm and no sin if a person contributes even a little from what he has got, as long as the person is sincere and he does make a contribution. Unfortunately, we depend solely and wholly on the rich people to make the contributions. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he gave encouragement to the Sahaba-e-Kiram to spend, then we have hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam where the Sahabas went to the marketplace and some of them actually carried goods on their backs and they earned a few pounds of flour or grain or whatever they earned. They brought that and gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "This is our contribution." Some went to the wells and they began to draw water from the wells, and when they were paid in some dates or some grains, they brought it and contributed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning that the person, out of his hard work and effort, whatever he contributes, what little he contributes, he will be rewarded. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made that promise that they will be rewarded if it is sincere. If the person is sincere, then he will be rewarded. I think I mentioned on some other occasion also that a person, from his sadaqat and from his charities, if he gives that, then he does not suffer, because it's a promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, "Ma naqasat sadaqatum min malin," that the person who gives sadaqah, it does not bring about any decrease in his wealth. How can it bring about a decrease when Allah Ta'ala has promised more than 10 times, much, much more than that? So it cannot bring about a decrease. Yes, our calculators will show that there is a decrease. If the person out of 100 gives 10, then outwardly there's a decrease. There will be 90 there. It won't turn into 110. But then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will then multiply it in different ways. Or that money of his which was going to go to for medication and which was going to go to the lawyers and which was going to go to haram places or which was going to be spent on other lavish causes and which was going to be made israf of, then Allah Ta'ala will protect that and Allah Ta'ala will give barakat in that which he has got. That little which he has got now will suffice for plentiful of his needs. And we've got ample evidence for that. Ample evidence. There's no shortage of evidence to show how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the spending or sadaqat, Allah ta'ala returned it so many fold to those people who were sincere. But as I said, that this sadaqah is for everybody. It is for me too, for you too, and for everyone. We should not just look at the rich people and say that they must do all the contribution. Those who are poor, it happens in our masajid also. That how many times we just take it for granted that the fans work, the electricity supply is on, we have our air conditioners, we have our water ever running, and we also demand that everything must be in order, but we won't make 1 cent contribution towards the light water account for the whole of our lives. We will take it for granted that somebody is paying, well, he's paying, as long as I enjoy all the comforts, it is sufficient. It should not be like that. We should go quietly and put some money into the box. We should give quietly something to the treasurer, and we do not even need name or fame for that. But rest assured that in this way, Allah Ta'ala will definitely return that. So what I am saying is that Allah Ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if the person is giving sadaqah, then his wealth will not reduce. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took a qasam on this. He said, and Allah Ta'ala will give izzat. Ma zadallahu abdan bi'afwin illa izza. That the person who forgives another person for some injustice that the person has done, Allah Ta'ala will give izzat and respect to this person who has been harmed. If he is not going to seek revenge, Allah Ta'ala will give him respect. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also took qasam on that, that if the person is going to beg without him really being in need of begging, then Allah Ta'ala will open the door of poverty for him. After that, all his life he'll carry on begging and he'll never be satisfied, no matter how much you give him. Because that person whom Allah Ta'ala has given health, he has given strength, he's given the ability to go and work, and also people have offered him and promised him jobs, but just because he feels that begging is an easy way of getting money, he does not go and work, then all his life he'll carry on like that and his needs will never be fulfilled. But if a person is fit, he's healthy, but he's unemployed, there are no vacancies, and he's suffering, there is no food at home, there's no light and water. So at that time, we'll say that he is healthy and he's got the means and the capacity and he's looking for a job too, but he doesn't have a job. Then we will say definitely assist that person. But it must not be like that one person who said that, Maulana, I'm in a terrible situation. Terrible. There's no food at home and this, and we are suffering and this and that, and I must have today 200 rands. So I said, but what is the problem? So he was taking out, I said, well, bring that light account that you have got. When he was taking it out like that, he took out the television account. So now, there were no lights, so you couldn't watch television. So this is the thing, that we have to give also using our discretion and using the Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's God-given namat of aqal. But, what do we do? The time runs out so fast. So the conclusion is this, that at present there is definitely a need for Afghanistan and for our local causes also. Ramadan Sharif is coming. So what we say that there should be a balance. You should look after the local needs also and contribute for others also that are far away. Every cause is our cause, but it must not happen that we contribute for causes that are distance away and we neglect our neighbors to such an extent that they suffer starvation and poverty and they are not taken care of. So we have to look at our own needs, we have to look at the needs outside and get our priorities right. We have to see where we have to contribute, how much. Then, if you look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then definitely on whatever he takes qasam, it will be fulfilled. He takes qasam, Allah Ta'ala will not reduce that wealth which you give as sadaqah. But the point that slipped my mind, which I was bringing across to you, is that those who have suffered, after giving sadaqah, they should not have suffered. Allah Ta'ala should have given them more. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala's promise is always fulfilled. But those of us who suffer after giving sadaqah also, it's not because of the giving of that sadaqah, but it is because of our borrowing from the banks on interest. Now you can't take one haram, which is such a haram, that Allah Ta'ala says that you are entering into war with him. Taking of interest, giving of interest and all these things is so cursed. Now the person is borrowing from banks without any real necessity. The person is not sinking. He is not going to die of starvation or poverty. If he sells his house and goes and rents one small flat, then nothing will happen to him. He will still be able to live a reasonable life. But just to maintain that standard in society, that I was living in a palace, so what will people say now, you have to sell this house and move into a little flat? So he will carry on borrowing from the banks. Or just to show the people that I also can compete with those next door and invite 1,000 people and accommodate them in the city hall and feed them 7-course and 9-course meal. And after that the person says, I'm suffering. That is not because of that sadaqah that he gave. It's because of his lavish expenditure. It's because of his indulgence in israf. And it is because of his indulgence in taking and giving of interest and other kind of haram activities like committing zina, committing adultery, fornication. These are the things that take away the barakat of the rizq. Speaking lies, taking false oaths and qasams when he's selling his merchandise. Now these things take away the barakat, not the sadaqah. If he gives the sadaqah, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will protect even that wealth. If Allah Ta'ala gives me another opportunity and extends my life, then inshallah we will continue. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Brothers, as I have repeatedly said, that we should not just wait for the imam sahab to make dua. If we cannot do very much, at least we should make a lot of dua for those who are trying to defend the borders of Islam and the Muslims. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.